Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima.
105.7 The Fan and Baltimore. Host with Jason Lock and Fora. Ken, first off, how bizarre is it going to be with no fans at M&T Bank Stadium on Sunday?
I think it'll be surreal. Just an empty stadium. For the players, they're so used to playing in loud stadiums, and the place is going to be empty. I guess as viewers, we'll get used to it eventually. But if they're in a press box, it'll be odd. The whole thing. This is the new normal here in 2020. Hopefully, we get past this and in the very near future, and we can have some degree of normalcy in 2021, but this will be odd for sure.
I saw Harbaugh say some really nice things about the Browns' rushing attack. Not only Kareem Hunt, who just got signed yesterday to a team-friendly deal, but also Nick Chubb. You saw firsthand what Chubb did to Baltimore in that early season win last year. How is that defense, who couldn't stop Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb early, how are they prepared to stop the rushing attack on Sunday?
Well, they did a lot to try to improve the defense in the offseason. They brought in Calais Campbell. They brought in Derek Wolfe. They drafted Patrick Queen. They drafted Malik Harrison. I think that, you know, the game against Cleveland was at September 29th of last year. That was the last regular season game they lost. And they brought in some guys off the street at linebacker and tried to improve that run defense. And they did for the most part. The 49ers came in later in the year. Raheem Mostert had a nice game, and then of course Henry in the playoffs, and that was sort of their it looked like Eric DaCosta's number one goal in the offseason was to kind of shore up that run defense. They think they have. We will see, but they as you said, they know firsthand what Nick Chubb can do.
Do you think that Ken Lamar Jackson has just a bit of a disadvantage with his style when the Ravens fall behind? They didn't fall behind often. Last year, they had a lot of decisive victories, but in two of those losses that I remember, the Browns and later on that one that eliminated you from the playoffs, he just got down early. Are you sensing that he thinks that's an area of concern that he has to work on?
I think that Lamar's a unique guy because all he cares about is football. Like, he does nothing else. So I think it eats at him when he has deficiencies. That Tennessee game was odd, though. You know, Seth Roberts dropped a pass that would have been a touchdown. The ball that tipped off Andrew's hands, Mark Andrews had the high ankle sprain during the regular season. If he could get up for that ball, he catches that ball. The ball gets tipped. It's an interception. I'm not concerned about Lamar, and I also think he'll be, while it might not show statistically, I think he's going to be better, and I think one of the things, the offense, the passing game should be better, not only because of him, but Hollywood Brown's 100%. Andrews is now back to 100%. They got a couple rookies, and Devernay and Procio, I think, are going to be a big part of the offense. I think the passing game is actually going to be better this year than it was last year.
Does John Harbaugh say anything negative about anybody ever?
Not publicly.
No.
but he's got that side to him. But, yeah, you know, it's the old – I remember when I was younger, the Lou Holtz, when they're getting ready to play, like, the Little Sisters of the Poor, and he talked about how great they were when he was at Notre Dame. But I guess that's part of the coach's handbook. You never criticize the other team before a game. I guess in some way you don't if it's bulletin board material, which I always think is kind of BS, but you take the blame for it afterwards.
You don't believe in bulletin board material, huh?
I think, especially at this level, you should be able to motivate yourself to get ready for a game. You don't need somebody to say something.
Oh, man. I wish I was with you a couple of years ago when we argued about this. Okay, Justin Matabuki is a little bit week to week, I guess, according to what I read. And we don't know what's going to happen at right guard there for the Baltimore Ravens. Can you answer both of those questions right now?
So Matabike's got a knee thing. I don't think he's going to play Sunday, but the fact they didn't put him on IR for the, because that's a three-week thing, I think they think he could be ready for week two. I think Tyree Phillips, the rookie, is going to be at right guard, and DJ Fluker is going to be the swing tackle. That's my gut on that. Now, it's a huge hole to fill because Marshall Yanda, who I think is going to be in the Hall of Fame one day, retired, but that's my gut on that, is that Phillips, the rookie, is going to be at right guard.
What is the thought process of the Browns going into this game for the Baltimore Ravens, really for the fans? Do you take the Browns seriously this year? Is it kind of a wait and see, like a lot of fans are here in Cleveland?
Well, I think the smart fan has to take them seriously because they came in and beat the crap out of them last September. You know, 40-25 is something that people remember, and Baker Mayfield played great in that game, and Chubb ran all over them, and the Ravens struggled in the second half. So I think the fans take them seriously, and we know how talented they are. And I think just by virtue of the fact that there's an adult in the room and Kevin Stefanski, they should be better than they were a year ago. How much better, we shall see. That I think there's some holes on that defense. But, I take them seriously.
Ken Wyman, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore, giving us the report on the Ravens. Of course, the Browns play them this Sunday right here on The Fan, your flagship home for Cleveland Browns football. With that, we go to Mo Egger, at Mo Egger 1530 on Twitter, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as the Cincinnati Bengals host the Los Angeles Chargers. And are you guys having fans on Sunday? How's that one working?
No fans at Paul Brown Stadium, so it'll be pretty much like it was last year.
Okay, we're off and running about that.
That's the Mo we know and love.
What's your goal? What's your goal for Joe Burrow for this season? What do you want to see out of the kid?
You know, I want to see Carson Palmer's first year as starting quarterback, which, if you remember, was actually not his rookie season. He had the benefit of sitting out an entire year, going through two full preseasons, and then he took over as the starting QB in 2004. More than a year after he had gone number one overall. I want to see the same thing, though, because what I saw early that year was I saw flashes, and then I got the almost inevitable growing pains. I got the rookie mistakes. I got the inexperience that caught up to him. But by the end of the year, he was phenomenal, and he was phenomenal against good teams in games that, at that point, you wouldn't have expected the Bengals to win. And I think we walked away from that season thinking, okay, they've got their guy, and this team can hit the ground running the next year, which they did. Now, what happened down the road, obviously no Bengals fan wants any part of that. If I get that from Joe Burrow this year, if Bengals fans get that from Joe Burrow this year, I think they're going to view this season as a smashing success. Obviously, you know, he is in the pretty unenviable position of playing his first NFL game on Sunday without the benefit of a preseason snap. He hasn't gotten hit in practice. They've done the best they can to try to replicate the preseason, but you can't do that. He's going to do so throwing to a guy in A.J. Green who hasn't played since October of 2018. And his left tackle has never played in an NFL game because Jonah Williams, who was taken in the first round in 2019, didn't play last year because of injury. So there's a lot of things sort of conspiring against him here at the beginning of the year. But if he's as good as advertised, you'll see progress throughout the year. And by the end of the season, again, if you see more consistency, if you see him put up some pretty good numbers, if you see him lead them to wins in games that you don't expect them to win, and their final four games are against teams that I think are all going to make the postseason, then I think we're going to walk away from this season pretty happy with what they got, at least from Joe Burrow.
Mo, I'm always for top picks getting a chance to start. Obviously, Tua is not going to start to begin his career with the Dolphins. Is there anybody in Cincinnati who stops and says, are we sure we're doing the right thing given this bizarre offseason that you would never order up as a recipe for a young starting quarterback, number one overall?
I think there was a time when they still had Andy Dalton in the contract. You know, remember, they cut him loose. He had time left on his deal. And I think on some level it might have made sense if they would have held on to Andy, who really wasn't making that much money, and given him a chance to be a guy at least at the outset. But I really feel like they wanted to rip the Band-Aid off. I also feel like they have a ton more confidence in Joe Burrow than outsiders. I think, you know, look, he's older than about 40% of his team. Now, being older chronologically versus being experienced in the NFL, those are two entirely different things. But I think they feel like he's up to the task. And you know, they really, this offseason, they did things that are pretty un-Bengal-like. They spent $160 million in free agency. They tried to retool their defense. They kept A.J. Green. They got a fair deal done with Joe Mixon. They pretty much did everything but make massive upgrades on the offensive line, which obviously could catch up to them. I just think they wanted to start fresh in every conceivable way. And their backup quarterback now, Ryan Finley, is quite frankly somebody that you can't put into a game and really feel good about you winning that game if he's playing. So I think some thought was given to, you know, let's have Andy be the guy for a while. But I don't think they wanted that dynamic. I think they wanted to go ahead and start fresh and have Joe be the guy week one.
No Derwin James in that Chargers secondary, it seems, on Sunday. Might be a nice start for Joe Burrow. Could be a nice start for maybe A.J. Green. Does he return to form in 2020?
I think it's the biggest question about this team. You know, we've seen what's happened to this team since A.J. started getting hurt, and that's not an issue exclusive to last year. He has missed, I think the number's 29 of their last 54 games they've played. That goes back a long time. I tend to think he's, you know, I hate the term pitch count, but I think you're going to see that with AJ. I think it's going to be really interesting, first of all, to see what the injury report says today. Does he go? Is he limited? Is he a full participant? Because in training camp, there it was again, a hamstring kept him out of a bunch of practices. He did not go through any of the team's live scrimmages. If he's healthy, then, you know, I think you expect certainly not the 2014-15 version of A.J. Green, but even at the age of 32, a player who is still explosive, a player who is still dynamic, and then the rest of the pieces in that wide receiver group can fall into place, and they can have a pretty nice group. Without A.J. Green, boy, suddenly it's a lot of uncertainty with John Ross, who's done nothing in the NFL, T. Higgins, who's a guy they got in the second round of the draft with the first pick in round two, who's had a very uneven preseason. The success of this offense, at least early, largely depends on AJ's availability. And if he's available, again, you're not going to get the AJ from 5 years ago, but you still have a guy who's better than most.
Mo Egger, ESPN 1530 in Cincinnati, as the Bengals get set to host the Chargers coming up this Sunday. We go to Pittsburgh now, where they'll wait till Monday night to go on the road to the Meadowlands to take on the New York Giants. Chris Muller. Chris Muller, PGH, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, joins us on the show.
Who, by the way, on a meteoric rise in Pittsburgh radio, I call him the best sports talk radio host in Pittsburgh. I don't think it's particularly close, so it's an honor to have him on.
I like being treated that way. I think I deserve that kind of a title, so thank you. It's good to finally be appreciated, fellas.
You have the Steelers at 9-7. Why?
I think that there's one thing here that people have been bullish on and almost taken for granted that I just don't know if it's going to play out the way they want it to. And that's not actually Roethlisberger, believe it or not. They forced on defense last year, this team. Granted, they were behind the eight ball a lot when they were doing it, and that makes it even more impressive. But they forced 38 turnovers. They led the league. Like, that is not a stat that tends to travel from season to season. Even if you have a really good defense that's getting a lot of pressure on the quarterback, you still don't typically pay it off with as many turnovers as the Steelers forced. So I think Roethlisberger makes their offense better, but I also think the division could be better if the Browns, if you guys are more capable. And I think that defense isn't going to be able to flip as many fields just because that's usually how it goes. So I think surprisingly tough division and a defense that isn't as, you know, able to cash in with as many touchdowns is the reason that they're only going to be 9-7. I don't think that they're a losing football team, though. I don't think there's some catastrophe that befalls these guys this year.
I mean, 2 years ago, Big Ben threw for 5,000 yards, but the criticism was that it was way too pass-happy on offense. Do you see that completely changing now this year with Big Ben 2 years older and a lot of uncertainty about what his skills actually are?
I don't know, though. I want that to be what happens. I want them to be a more balanced attack. But the problem is, guys, who is their running back? My kid is mad thinking about who their running backs are right now.
What is it with people in Pittsburgh and kids in the background? Unbelievable. Go ahead.
Anyway, no, my kid is mad because he's thinking, like, how are they supposed to have a running game when James Conner is the featured option right now and you can't count on him past, like, what, week, I don't know, four? I don't want them to pass the ball a ton because I just don't think that that's the best avenue for them to have success, because I think the quarterback, especially if he feels really good about his arm, can get a little too risk-happy, and then that's when you can get yourself into trouble. In a perfect world, they have somebody emerge from that running back room, and this is why I wanted them to go out and get Leonard Fournette when nobody wanted him, because I think he would have shored that up completely. In a perfect world, they run the ball to set up some pass, old-school NFL offense, and they take this onus, this mental onus, whatever it might be, off of Ben Roethlisberger that he's got to chuck it all over the yard for them to win. Because you can go look at the record, and it's not just because they're trailing in games. When he throws the ball more than 40 times a game, they are a losing football team. That applies to almost every quarterback, but it's especially true with him.
Sounds good.
And that is Chris Muller, 93.7 The Fan in Pittsburgh, as he completes the tour of the AFC North. Great stuff from Ken Wyman and Mo Egger as well. Cincinnati looking to come back with Joe Burrow. We'll talk about them coming up next Thursday, because we play them next Thursday. So we'll talk about them with the week up leading up to it. And Ken Wyman and no fans at M&T Bank Stadium coming up this Sunday as the Browns take on the Baltimore Ravens right here on 92.3 The Fan here in Cleveland. Up next, I need all the gamers. I need your help because, well, Madden 21 is adding another character to the rosters coming up this year, and it's happening today. It's Ken Carmen with Anthony Lyman live on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.